Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, daf Mem Zayin. We're holding on the closing words of Mem Vav Amud Beis, and we're holding in the middle of this fascinating sugya, which is, of course, very, very nogea l'halacha, and is conceptually very important to grasp in terms of understanding the relationships of Shabbos and Yontem in the dinim that occurs so often, which is, of course, the need to make an Erev Tafshilin. And this all began with our understanding of what appeared to be completely unrelated issues about whether the chametz is going to be considered to be your chametz in the event that it was challah. And what did that have to do with anything? Because the issue was you were able theoretically to be mevatel the kedusha of the challah, and that's called ho'il, and that became the issue of the entire discussion of how to understand, incredibly, of how to understand the din of Erev Tafshila. And it developed as follows. So yesterday we saw that there were two completely different approaches to the question of why it is that you would be allowed midiraisa to be able to cook on Yanta for Shabbos. And because if it were d'oraisa, there'd be no way, of course, that the Rabbanu would have been able to make it any different. They couldn't have made a din that would have affected the d'oraisa. So there were two basic approaches. The approach that we assumed from the Machlokas in the Mishnah about challah is that there is this concept called ho'il, that since something is a theoretical possibility, because of that, you can rely on it in terms of possibilities. So let's say somebody is cooking on Yontif, and it's getting late, and it's late in the afternoon, he already ate, he's really only cooking for Shabbos. But, theoretically speaking, if people would suddenly knock on the door, and they would be able to eat this thing before Shabbos, it would certainly be usable on Yontif. So because of that, we're going to consider it to be mutter on the Yontif. That would be what Hoa would imply. Come along the Rabbanan, and they said, yeah, but don't do that for a weekday. We don't want people, because then people will actually end up cooking from a yontev to a weekday. So because of that, the Rabbanan made this takana, and in order for people not to just be loose about cooking from yontev to chol, so they said, for Shabbos, we're going to give you this special halacha of an Erev Tafshilin. But in reality, I mean, midiraisa, you would really have been allowed to do it because of ho'il. The other approach was the approach of Rav Chisda. He didn't like ho'il. It was Rabba that liked ho'il. Rav Chisda said that actually the issue is completely different. It's you're allowed to cook midiraisa from Yontif to Shabbos, not because of ho'il, but because the issur of cooking for Shabbos is not actually a d'oraisa, because only cooking from Yom Tov to Chol is aser. But the Hulav Adoy Yaseh Lachem, which is matir, cooking for Yemei Kiddusha, that have a concept of Shvisa, is true for any day of Shvisa. So therefore, if you're cooking from Shabbos, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, it's for a day of Kiddusha Shvisa, which is the same as the Yom Tov itself, Shabbaton. And therefore, it's mutter. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosis has a very different approach to Rav Chisda, and it's important to have that approach because the sugya today seems to be challenging according to Rashi's approach, and Tosis's approach makes it actually very easy conceptually. So Tosis's approach is more sophisticated. Tosis's approach is like this. You are taking for granted the idea that something that is tzorach ochel nefesh for Yontev is what it is that is mutter to do lachem. But let's separate out those two issues. There could be a tzorach ochel nefesh, and then there could be things that you do for Yontev. But then there could be a tzorach ochel nefesh that is meant on Yontev, meaning if there's a Shabbos that you will not have food for because you can't cook it on Shabbos, and the only time that you can cook it is on the Erev Shabbos, which is Yontev. So then the problem is, and remember that you can't just cook something earlier. There's no refrigeration. I mean, what are you going to do with it? So how are you going to have your food for Shabbos? the way which you will have your food for Shabbos is by cooking it on Yom Tov. So say, but you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Yes, you are. If this is the only time that this Tzorech Ochel Nefesh is meant to be cooked, then it is Tzorech Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov. It doesn't have to be Tzorech Ochel Nefesh for the Yom Tov. That's what Rav Chisda was saying. In which case, I don't need to come on to Hoyil. It really is Mutar B'Diraisa. And in fact, it's Rabbanan that answered it because of, again, their Gezerah, that people may come to actually cook from Yom Tov L'chol. And because of that, we were Mutar it if you create the Erev Tavshilin. That's what we were in the middle of. Now, we're about to engage in a number of questions that are asked from Rabba on Rav Chisda and Rav Chisda on Rabba as far as their respective understanding. Do we hold of Hoyil? Do we not hold of Hoyil? And how it is that would you be able to actually, midiraisa, cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos if it wouldn't be for Hoyil? So now, our first question is, today that we're continuing, is the last line. Eisvei. Lechem hapanim. Now, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and what's important about the Beis HaMikdash is, remember, we don't make Isurei Drabanan in the Beis HaMikdash. So we don't make it Isur Shvus in the Beis HaMikdash. So I'm not interested in hearing your pirushim about, well, the Rabbanan made a Gezerah, that you're not, the Rabbanan don't make Gezerahs in the Beis HaMikdash. So now I'm asking you, my dear Rav Chisda, how do you explain the following Mishnah? Okay, it says that the Lechem HaPonim is sometimes eaten on the ninth day from the time in which it was baked, the 10th day or the 11th day, never earlier than the ninth day, and never later than the 11th day. And here's how it would work. In a normal shop, it's Kedarko. So then 9 days later, it's not baked on Shabbos, it's baked on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to bake on Shabbos if it can be baked on Erev Shabbos. Okay, so I bake it on Erev Shabbos, and then you put it onto the Shulchan on Shabbos, and then it's taken off of the Shulchan the following Shabbos, and that will be the ninth day from the baking. Okay, so it's Nefa Erev Shabbos, and it's eaten on the next Shabbos after this one, which is the norm. You put it on for Shabbos, you take it off for Shabbos later, and it stayed on the Shulchan the entire week. How about if Erev Shabbos was a Yontev? So then you bake it the day before, and then it will turn out to be on the 10th day. How about if 2 days of Rosh Hashanah come out on Erev Shabbos? Then what? Okay, so then you'll have to bake it on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And then by the time you eat it on the following Shabbos after this one, it is going to be 11 days later. And the reason for this is the Fisha Eino Doche, Lo Et HaShabbat, Velo Et HaYom Tov. And here's my point, says Rabba. According to you, my dear Rav Chisda, you claim that you're allowed to do Tzorech HaShabbos on Yom Tov. Why in the world do we not bake the Lechem HaPanim on Yom Tov? I mean, why do we have to bake it 2 days earlier? This is a great example of where, oh, yes, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, well, what do you mean? There's Gzeirah, there's Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan say, we're worried that people are going to come to do things from Yom Tov L'chol. We don't make those kind of Gzeirahs in the Beis HaMikdash, remember, my friend. And if that's the case, your standard explanation no longer holds water. And therefore, you're going to have to admit that the real problem is that there is an Isser of baking for Yom Tov on Shabbos. And the only time that it would be mutter to bake from Yom Tov on Shabbos is if there's Hoyil. Well, what are you going to say in this case? If you get guests, they're going to be allowed to eat the Lechem HaPanim? Very funny. So if therefore, according to me, it works out beautifully, according to you, I don't know what you're going to do with this Mishnah. Amalei, so Rav Chisda says to Rabba, it's true that the Rabbanan were not gozer shvus in the Beis HaMikdash, but that's not true across the board. They were not gozer a shvus that would be in the way of doing what needs to be done now, right? So if I would be eating this Lechem HaPanim tomorrow on Shabbos, of course they would bake it on Yom Tov. But I don't eat it tomorrow on Shabbos. I put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos. And then a whole week later, we're finally going to get around to taking it off of the Shulchan and baking it, right? So, like, why would they be Matar Shvus in that case? There's no pressing need. So if there's no pressing need, that's called a Shvus that is Rechoka. A Shvus that they should be Matar for something that is going to only be Nogea a week later and so on. That they actually were not mocked in the Beis HaMikdash. And that they say, I mean, why not have that in the Beis HaMikdash as well? It's not bothering anybody. So it's Shvut Krova Hitiru, Shvut Rechoka Lo Hitiru. Oh, says Rabbah, and what are you going to do according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? Because Reb Shimon ben Gamliel quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Hasgan, and actually in this, in the Mishnah itself, it says that it is Doche Yom Tov, and it's not Doche Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, it's usher to bake at all, obviously. But if it came out on a Yom Tov, that would be Erev that Shabbos, then you do cook it on Yom Tov, bake it rather on Yom Tov. So, okay, what are you going to say according to him? He obviously holds that we will be matir a shvus even for a shvus rechoka. So you, what are you going to say about that? He's taking that for granted. Says Rav Chisda, what do you mean he's taking it for granted? That's the whole machlokas. The machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is about this question. The Tanakhama that said that you do not bake on Yom Tov, that's because he holds, like I was telling you, that a Shvus Rechoka, we were never matir. Whereas over here, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, quoting Reb Shimon ben Hasgan, he argues on exactly that point. Well, obviously, I'm not going according to Das Yochid. I was going according to Tanakhama. Marsav, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, on the other hand, holds that he is matir, even a Shvus Rechoka. Okay. Now, Rev Mori also did not like Rav Chisda's approach, but not because of the issue of Hoyo, but rather the idea that it would be mutter to do malacha for Shabbos on Yom Tov, the same type of attack that Rabbah brought. And here we have the same idea in the Beis HaMikdash, this time from the Shtei Alechem. So remember that the Shtei Alechem are eaten on Shavuos, but they're not baked on Shavuos, they're baked Erev Shavuos. And if the korban, everything is brought, and the dam is nizrak of the kifse atzeres, which are called zifrei shalmei tzibur, which is kodesh kodashim, it's not a typical shlomim, but nonetheless, that dam is matir, the eating of the bread. So he asked Rav Chisda, according to you, how do you explain the fact that shtei alechem are never eaten less than 2 days, meaning the second day from the baking, that is, baked on Erev Yom Tov, eaten on Yom Tov. And never more than 3 days, which is if Shabbos came out before. So it's not more than 3 days. So Erev Yom Tov, normally they're baked and they're eaten on the next day on Yom Tov, which is the second day. But if Erev Yom Tov was Shabbos, Chal Yom Tov Liot Achar HaShabbat, so then it'll be the third day, because there's certainly not going to be Doche, Eina Doche, Lo Et HaShabbat, Velo Et HaYom Tov. Now, my problem is that according to you, this doesn't make any sense because, look, I'm assuming, this is how Rashi understands it, and here's where we have the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about how to understand the real meaning of Rav Chisda. But here's how I understand it. According to Rabbah, the reason that I would not be able to do it on Yom Tov proper is because when I do it on Yom Tov, there is no heter achila. Why? Because until such time as I bring the Zifrei Shalmei Tzibur, which are the Kifsei Atzeret, that are brought together with the Shtei Alechem, I cannot eat the Shtei Alechem. So since, according to me, says Rabbah, that in order to be matir, something to be eaten, it has to be eaten immediately on Yom Tov, and it has to be eaten now. When I'm doing it, it has to be roy to be eaten. Over here, it's not going to be roy to be eaten because I have not as yet brought the karbonis, and the karbonis I can only bring after I do the karbonis, the seder of the karbonis hayom. So because of that, it makes sense that I had to do it on Erev Yom Tov. But, and I can't do it on Erev Yom Tov is Shabbos. But according to you, if I can even use Yom Tov to Midiraisa, to prepare things for Shabbos, which is not even on the same day, how can you justify not baking the Shtei Alechem on Yom Tov for the very same day, for Yom Tov itself? That's what I don't understand. How do you explain that? Iyam etzorche Shabbat nasim biyom tov. If I can even bake from Shabbos to Yom Tov, can I not obviously bake from Yom Tov to Yom Tov on the very same day? The fact it's going to be eaten a little bit later isn't a problem. So the Yom Tov biyom tov, me boy, is that an issue, Bichla? Says Rav Chisda, nah, that's a whole different issue. The reason you can't bake something on Yom Tov is not because it's not lechem. It is. The problem is that a korban is not called lechem. A korban is called for hekdesh. That's the point. You're going to say, okay, but I can eat it. That doesn't matter. It says in the pasuk, hu levado ye'aseh lechem. Why is it lechem? Hu levado ye'aseh. So lechem means to you and not for purposes of hekdesh. That's why. It's a completely different issue. So the Torah doesn't allow cooking. It has nothing to do with my shita, rabbi shita. You're not allowed to do something on yontev, which is litzorech gavoa. That's the point. So it had to be done erev yontev. Obviously, if erev yontev is Shabbos, you're not going to be allowed to do it on Shabbos. So then you need 2 days. That's all. Very straightforward. Oh, yeah, says Rav Mari. I mean, if that's a given, then how in the world do you understand Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was quoting Rav Shimon ben Askanas saying you can't even do it on Yontif? Obviously, he doesn't know the Vlachem. What are you going to say? I mean, you can't just like say you're going to be arguing on the Tanoim. You didn't see anywhere that this is a Machlokas Tanoim, did you? Well, in fact, I did. I know that there's the sheet of Abba Shaul. Remember that Abba Shaul holds in Beitza that lachem means lachem velo lenochrim, not lachem velo legavoa. So therefore, he obviously agrees with Abba Shaul, and there is that shita. I mean, everybody agrees to the fact that it's lachem velo lenochrim. The question is whether it's also lachem velo legavoa. So therefore, that's not a problem. I'm not creating that machlokas, man. That's an old machlokas. Okay. Now we've got a problem with Rabba. Rav Chisda now mounts the attack. And he wasn't able to speak to Rabba personally. He wasn't around Rabba. It was too subtle to just write a letter. So he basically went through explaining his whole shita to Rav Acha bar Avuna. And he asked Rav Acha bar Avuna to go and to ask Rabba the following question. It was Rishalach le biyad Rav Acha bar Avuna, which Rashi learns means that biyad means having explained it to him. So me, I'm reading Hoyel. You're tiny at this concept of Hoyel. I want to show you that there's no such thing. Take a look in the Mishnah in Masechet Makot. We're over there, we were talking about how many times could you get makas for doing just one act and be over on many separate lavim for just one act. So here it says like this, Yesh Choresh Telemechad, it's possible to just dig one furrow and to be chayev 8 separate malkios, okay? Here's how. You, first of all, you're doing the work by saddling up, yoking up an ox and a donkey. Okay, so you're being over on a Choresh B'Shor V'Chamor. That is Makis number one, Charisha B'Kelai. Both the Shor and the Chamor were belong to the Beis HaMikdash. So you're over on another two lavim. On the Shor, you're over on the Isser, which of course applies to all korbanos, of Lo Ta'avod B'Bchor Shorecha. Okay. On the other one, on the donkey, you would be over on Me'ila, on the lav of Me'ila. So now we've got three. You're also doing this work where you do the Charisha as you cover seeds as you're digging, in a vineyard which were Kelayim. So therefore, you're also going to be over on the Isser of Kelayim. And what's more, it's the year of Shemitah. Boy, this guy's really brilliant. Okay, so now you're also doing your Zeria, because over here, you're covering the seeds, as we said, as you're plowing. And that, this is a type of Zeria. So that's the fifth Isser. And it's also Yontev, so that's the sixth Isser. And, oh, did I mention that you were a Kohen, and besides that, a Nazir? And did I mention to you that this Kerem is a Beis HaKvaras? No? Okay, so that gives you number 7 and number 8. So now you're going to be over on being Metame the Kohen, and being Metame the Nazir, and being over on Shemitah as you're doing Kilayim, and it's Yontev, and you're doing also Zeria, and you're stealing from Hegdash because you're over on Me'ila, and you're using a carbon to work with, and not only that, they're two different species hooked up together. Whew. This guy's almost as brilliant as this Talmud of Rav, the Ramban, remember Avner, with his, how many Yisurim did I do today? Okay, so according to you, but here's my point, says Rav Chisda, according to you, that you hold of Hoyel, why would you be chayev on the harisha on yantav? That was one of the eight things, right? Was yantav. But why are you chayev on harisha on yantav? Let me ask you something. Suppose you got hungry and you wanted to shecht a bird to have a nice dish for yantav, okay? But you can't shecht that bird if you don't have any dirt. So now you're going to need dirt in order to be doing the kisui hadam. So why don't we say, well, listen, if you ended up getting a bird to shecht, you would have been allowed to use this dirt to shecht the bird. So it turns out that it's all for tzorech yantav. And you say that the theoretical possibility of having something that was usable for yantav is sufficient to make me putter, because after all, I'm allowed to do things that I need for food on yantav. Okay, great. So then I shouldn't be chayev on the bird. So, I mean, on the dirt. And therefore, I'm down to seven. And it says in the Mishnah, eight. So according to you, you're not chayev on the harisha, because the harisha is roy, it's chazi, lekisui dam tzipor. Omer of Papa Bar Shmuel, okay, you know what? So it's talking about where the field was covered with these little avanim mekur zalot, which just means it's like gravel. And therefore, you can't use gravel for doing kisui hadam. So that's why there's no hoel. Says the Gemara, I understand. I mean, you could crush them, and then you could use them for covering the dam, no? What do you mean crush them? You're not allowed to crush things on yantav. Well, you could crush them kilachriyat in a way that wouldn't be machay of you on yantav, in a different way than normal. I mean, bottom line is that we ought to be able to use hoil to take off the yisr. Okay, fine. It's not talking about little gravelly things. It's talking about actual stone. So the entire field is covered with stones. Actually, you were sowing a parking lot. What? What do you mean sowing a parking lot? What exactly can you grow in a parking lot? Old tires? Tzunma bar Zriya? How are you going to be over on Zriya in Shemitah and Kilayim if it's a parking lot? So what do you mean? No, what I mean is the upper layer is rocky, and underneath that you have like regular dusty dirt. It's soft, and it can be used for covering the dam of the tzipor. Okay. Thank you very much. So then we're back to what we started with. I said, so then that means that by crushing the rock on top, you're able to get to the soft dirt underneath it. And then you could use that for kisui hadam. And therefore, you should be potter, because what you did was engaged in getting something for food on yantav. Okay, fine, says Mar Bar Ravashi. Okay, so forget the parking lot, okay? It's talking about over here, it's like a muddy field. You can't use this mud to be covering dam. It has to be offer. It has to be like separate little pieces. And this thing is just all stuck together. It's just watery. And therefore, it's not good for a kisui dam. And it's good for planting it. You can plant in watery mud. Not watery mud, okay? Bimetunta. It's like very thick, gooey mud, which you could actually plant in, but you still can't use it for kisui hadam because it doesn't cover in the way that offer, which is separate little pieces, the Torah demands. Okay. Eisve Abaya. So Abaya has got another problem with Rava. His problem is like this. Again, it's one of these combinations. So in this case, the combination is that you would be able to get five separate Isurim of Malkios in the following way. If you cooked a Gid HaNosha in milk on Yontif, and then you eat it, you'd be high of five Malkios. You cooked a Gid on Yontif, and that's not Letzorof Yontif, so that would be one. You ate a Gid HaNosha, that would be two. And you cooked Bosar B'cholav, because obviously this Tana holds that yesh begidim benosein tam. Remember that machlokas are the gid, is a gid anasha considered to actually be a piece of meat, or is it just eitzuv, and the Torah was b'chayev you on the eitz. So he obviously holds it's a piece of meat. you cook this piece of meat with milk, pow, that's another ism. And then you ate basar b'chalav besides eating the meat. So you're loka mishum ochel basar b'chalav. And then you went ahead and you lit a fire on Yantav. So you're chayev for lighting the fire. Now, if you're going to tell me ho'il, why am I chayev for lighting a fire on Yantav? After all, I could use this fire to cook my egg. So, I mean, if I wanted an egg, or if a guest would come along and want an egg, then it would be fine. And it's saying over here that I'm chayev. Because according to you, it should be putter with your whole craziness. Because all the chazilei letzarcho. I mean, I don't understand. How do you ever get into these situations where you're going to be chayev, where there's always some possibility? Says Rabbah, okay, I'll tell you what. By the way, now, gentlemen, I'm sure you have noticed now by yourselves the point that we mentioned yesterday, which is, what about the overall halacha that, according to Beis Hillel, the din is that once we're matir letzorcha, we're matir shelo letzorcha, right? That's a din called mitoch. So mitoch that the Torah was matir something, letzorcha ochel nefesh, it's matir also that is not letzorcha ochel nefesh. How many of you guys have carried on Yantav? Did you carry only food that you needed to eat? No, you carried other things. Why? Because you relied on Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel says that once the Torah was matir things that are tzorcha ochel nefesh, it's also matir that is not the tzorcha ochel nefesh. How come this whole discussion revolves around hoyo and not around mitoch? So, I mean, according to Rashi, we have to say that a lot of this discussion is going according to those who don't hold of mitoch, which is very difficult. It's a Beit Shammai shita that we don't hold mitoch. But according to Tosfos learns that even Beit Hillel is never matir things that are not letzorach yontev. It has to be, in his words, letzorach yontev ktsat. It needs to be something that you're doing that is currently letzorach yontev. So therefore, I would still need hoyel to make this currently letzorach yontev, you see. That's why it would make a tremendous nafkamina how it is that we would be learning, whether we're learning the issue of hoyel or whether we don't know the issue of hoyel. Fine. That makes a big nafkamina to us. So I say, says Rabbi, you know what? Let's change this a little bit. And instead of making it about the issue of lighting a fire on Yantav, you know what the issur was? Take out that one, Havara, and insert the fact that the animal was a nevela, so that when you ate the gidanasha, you were eating the gidanasha of a nevela. That would be the issue, says Abayah. You can't get away with that, because Reb Chiya actually lists in a brisa. He explains it in such a way to make sure that people like you don't get away with murder, Rabbah. Because what he says was that add up these different five lavim, two out of these five lavim are because of eating, and three are because of cooking. Now, that makes a lot of sense. Correct. The way we understand it, if you are now taking out from the cooking and you're putting in instead the nevela, then we've got three for eating and two for cooking. So, sorry, Rabbah. We already thought of that. Okay, says Rabbah, fine. So take out the Havara and instead put in the fact that you used wood that was muktzah and had been set aside not to eat. What the heck is going on over here? Muktzah? We're trying to figure out how it is that you get malchus, and now you're telling me you're chayev from wood that's muktzah? That's like a drabbanan. Is muktzah d'oraisa? You're going to tell me that there's a chayev of muktzah that you get malchus? Says Rabbah, listen, man, I'm going to play this for all it's worth, okay? I'm going to tell you, yeah, it's the Oraisa. Because it says in the Torah, well, what does it say over there? There it is, you've got the man, right? Okay, so it says in the Pasuk, whatever you need to bake, bake today. Whatever you're going to boil, boil today. As asher tafu afu, so on and so forth, right? And hechinu, so that means the pasuk is putting together, make sure it is ready and has been set aside for usage in the same context as if you're going to bake it, bake it. If you're going to cook it, cook it. Okay, so then it's the same thing. That means if you're not, if you're going to take it without achana, it would be the same thing as baking it on Shabbos. That's a malacha. So therefore, I say that the iser would be, it says, and if not, you'd be over from lo taaseh kol malacha, the same way the other things that you were going to be doing for the month. Omar Leh says, Abaya, okay, you might think you get away with playing this for all it's worth, but I know that you don't believe any of this because you yourself were the one who told us that actually, Atu da Amrit, you said that you once asked Rav Chista, or some say you once asked Rav Huna, but anyway, this is what you asked. Somebody went ahead and he brought a sheep that had been out for long distance pasturing. It would never come back in, as I'm sure Gavi could tell us about the cows that he meets in Tzfat over there, where those cows, they go out for months at a time. And if you need to find your cow, it's going to take you a heck of a long time to find your cow. Okay, so then in that event, what happens is that it should be muktzeh, because you certainly have no way of claiming that I had this all ready to shecht on Yontif. You don't even know where it is. So what about if a guy goes out, I asked Rav Huna, you yourself, Rabbi, you asked Rav Huna, if you went out and you brought a sheep from out there somewhere and out there in the mountains of around Tzfat, and you shecht it on Yontif for the carbon tumid. Now, what would be the din if you used it as a carbon? Is it kosher for the Mizbeach, or is it not kosher for the Mizbeach? So basically, I'm asking whether a muktzah sheep is kosher to bring as a carbon. And you said to us, Rabbah, okay, that he answered you, whoever it was, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, whoever it was, he answered you that, look, there is a pasuk that actually addresses that issue and makes it very clear. The pasuk says like this. It's a very strange pasuk. It's talking about the things that could be brought to the Mizbeach. So it says, V'seh achat min hatzon, min hamataim, mimashker Yisrael, lemincha v'la'ola. Very interesting thing. Doesn't seem to make any sense on the surface. One sheep out of 200 being brought from liquids that are Jewish. Like, whoa, what does any of that mean? So we have the famous drusha on that pasuk. First of all, it says in the pasuk, seh, why does it say a seh? Because it wants it to be clear, I want to use a word that is either masculine or feminine. So because of that, I change it to the seh in order to utilize a word, because seh is a neutral word and can be used for both. And therefore, it would have to be male or female. Now, that means you cannot use a bechor, because a bechor cannot be male or female. Okay, so it's seh velo ha-bechor. So that's the first diuk, and therefore, you can't use a bechor for any other carbon. Next, when it says achat, achat means it has stood on its own, and it therefore is not part of meiser, because to be meiser, there needed to be 10 animals, right? Okay. So you didn't have 10 animals, and therefore it's neither bechor nor maaser. When it says min hatzon means it had to have been from your standard tzon, and that means it cannot be a palgas. A palgas is a midway, it's a teenager. And a teenager, as you know, is neither a child, nor an adult, nor a human. So the same thing is true when it comes to sheep. If you've got a child sheep, that's a nice little seh. And if you've got an adult sheep, that's a fine ayil. But if you've got a teenager who's right in the middle of puberty, that's called a palgas, and we won't even call him a tzon. Okay. So this is coming to tell me you can't bring a teenage, which is a 13th month, not a 13th year in an animal, but you can't bring a teenager on the Mizbeach. And min hamatayim. Now, obviously, if we start talking about Mashke Yisrael, we are no longer talking about animals. So Min HaMatayim is talking about the wine for the Nesachim. And you would need to make this wine in such a way that it would leave 200 parts behind. Now, what could that be talking about? It could only be talking about Bittel. So let's imagine a case where you had 200 liters of wine, and 2 liters of a liter of Orla wine falls into this. So then you could take out a liter of wine on condition that you left 200 other liters of kosher wine behind, so to speak. So in other words, what we learn from here is that Orla will be bato in 200. Okay. And then when it says Mashke Yisrael means it's from the pub where all the Jews are drinking, okay? So what that means to say is if you're going to be bringing wine on the Mizbeach, it has to be a Badatz Heksher pub. And that would mean that if it isn't kosher, Mikan Amru, Ein Mevi Inis Achid Min HaTevel. Since it's not suitable for drinking in the pub, it is also not suitable for the Mizbeach, okay? Now, and here's where we get to what you said that undermines every word you tried to play for broke here, Rabbah. You might think that you can't bring this sachem on yontav from wine that was mukta, that you had it set aside maybe to use only for a wedding or something. So, and that would be puzzle too. That's not true. Because Amrit, ma tevo miyuchat shiser gufo goram lo. Same way that we learned out over here, that you can't bring tevel. That's because the very growing of something means it's going to be tevel until you do something for it. That's where you cannot use it, Mimashke Yisrael. But so too, anything else like that, Koshi Yisrael Gufo Gormlo, but Mukta, there's nothing innate in this wine that makes it Mukta. There's just the determination. It's your personal business. You made it Mukta. Who told you to make it Mukta? I mean, that's not something that is given in Gufo, and because of that, it's not included. So now don't give us the shtick over here, okay, that you hold that Muktzah is a given, it's a D'oraisa, forget about it, okay? So now, Yamrit Yisra Muktzah D'oraisa, what are you telling me now that you really believe that? Mali Yisra Gufo, Mali Yisra Dover Acher, where do you come up with this difference? Only if it's an Yisra Gufo. That's not, I mean, look, if you're going to tell me it's a Drabbanan, I understand the Drabbanan can play with the definitions as they want, you know? But if you're going to tell me that there's an Isser D'oraisa that is not Mashke Yisrael called Muktzah, who gave you the right to be Matirit? Because now you decide. It never said anywhere in the Pasuk Tevel. It just said Mashke Yisrael. So Mashke Yisrael would include anything. Anything that the Torah says is Usser. And this, according to you, the Torah is saying is Isser. So stop fooling around and tell us what the real answer is, okay? I'm not interested in playing with this anymore. And there's other problems over here also. I mean, it's all very nice to talk about this belief, if you try to persuade us that Munch says the Horizon saying, that is the reason that there's an additional Malkus. Ah, come off it. If it was Shabbos and we really could prove such a thing, maybe, okay? But on Yontev, you don't get separate Malkios for separate Isurim on Yontev. So there's a fundamental problem with your whole approach over here. You can't be Mechayev of the person because of two separate Isurim on Yontev, okay? So Atud Amrit, you're the one who said that the din of Chiluk Malachas, that you're chayev a separate chattas on every malacha, is only true vis-a-vis Shabbos. And it is not true vis-a-vis Yontev legabe Malkas on Yontev. Obviously, there's no chattas, but ain Chiluk Malachas be Yontev. So then how can you have two separate Isurin, cooking on Yontev the Gid, and then eating, using something as mukta? That doesn't add up. Those would be two separate Isurim on the same issue, which is using Yontev as one of the Malkias. You can't have two Malkias, one for the Muktzah and one for the cooking. So you're going to have to come up with something else. All right, says Rabbi, fine. Tomorrow I'll come up with something else. But meanwhile, I'm going to let you sit and learn some Oyalis for a change. So let us move on. All right, so this was a very brilliantly, but very tangential excursion into some of the implications of a hoyel and the differences between a hoyel and the alternative approach of Rav Chisda. And we'll try to get through the other questions about it. But meanwhile, we certainly have expanded our deeper understanding of the nature of the interrelationship of preparations, which, of course, this whole part of the Muktz is part of the issues of preparations, from Shabbos, from Yontav to Shabbos, which is involved here as well.